Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I'm glad that you're here tonight and celebrate Christmas, and we'll do that with Christmas Eve candlelight service, as we have every year, although this is the first year that we've had it here at the St. Paul campus. So we'll look forward to that, and hopefully as you come in, you were able to get a bulletin as well as a candle and preparation for our service tonight. I want to welcome you on behalf of our church. And if you're here visiting from out of town, perhaps you're here with some family members. We're glad that you're here tonight. And we know that several of our people have traveled for the Christmas holidays to be away from Tampa with their loved ones. So at any rate, we're glad that you could be with us tonight and enjoy some time together. A couple of instructions. Number one, if I mentioned this this past Sunday, if you purchased a poinsettia, please leave it tonight. Ordinarily, we take it with us from the Christmas Eve service, but as you saw on the marquee out front, St. Paul has a service at 11 p.m., so we don't want to strip them of half the poinsettias so that they can enjoy them as well for their 11 p.m. candlelight service tonight. So if you purchase one, leave it until this Sunday, the 27th, and after the worship service on Sunday, please take it with you as you go. Also, just to explain, if you'll notice inside of your bulletin, after the meditation tonight, or the message, we have some special music prepared, and it's during that time that we'll light the candles in preparation to sing Silent Night. So if you have your candle ready, the ushers will come forward during that time of special music, and they will light the candles on the immediate end of each row. And if you'll pass the light on to your neighbor, then we'll have all the candles lit in time to sing Silent Night at the very end of the service. And Danny Comfer will lead us in that. So also remember that when you light your candles, the person with the candle that's not lit, let them turn that one sideways. Don't do it the other way around. Otherwise, we end up getting lots of wax all over the floor, and we don't want to do that. So all those who have unlit candles, let your unlit candle do the tilting, and we'll be in good shape. All right, I don't have any further announcements. Let's prepare our heads and hearts for worship as we think about the silence of the night 2,000 years ago when our Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem to save us from our sin. You'll follow along with the readings and the music that we have tonight inside of your bulletin. But let's prepare for worship now as we listen to the prelude.
Christmas. For our call to worship, follow along in your bulletins. I'll read the light print if you respond by reading the bold print. It came upon a midnight clear.
While shepherds watched their flocks by night.
And when the fullness of time came forth, Mary gave birth to the Messiah.
And she took him
The little Lord Jesus had no crib for a bed. The God of the world was born in a stall. Born in a manger will save us all. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do exalt your name tonight. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself, who took on flesh and dwelt among us so that he could save us from our sins. It is in his name that we gather tonight to remember when he came into this world. It is in his name that we praise and exalt you. Would you receive our worship tonight? Amen. And as you see in your bulletin, we'll be going through the Christmas story in four different parts. And part one will come from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, the Annunciation to Mary. If you have a Bible, you can follow along. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Would you stand with me as we sing hymn number 196, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus"?
Thank you.
Bible, we do ask you to remain standing for the next scripture reading, which it tells of the birth of Jesus from Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's continue our worship by singing hymn number 201, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Part 3 is the shepherds rejoicing, which we find in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You may be seated. We'll be singing hymn number 207, Good Christian Men Rejoice. We come to part four. The Magi come to worship him, found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is God's word. Thank you. Well, you can remain seated. We'll be singing hymn number 213, What Child Is This?
Rain.
looking through my records the last 5 years, last five Christmas Eve services I've had with you, and the different scripture passages that were used for the meditation or the devotional as we celebrate this night. And I think I've exhausted a good number of those Christmas, typical Christmas passages. But I read one this past week that struck me. It's not necessarily a Christmas passage, but I think when you consider what it has to say, it certainly applies to Christmas in general and Christmas Eve in particular. I think more than any other time of the year, Christmas is a time where we acknowledge the presence of God. We celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus, who was and continues to be the eternal Son of God. That's what the angels sang when the shepherds had Jesus appear to them, or the news about Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. I thought about those words this past week, and in my own devotional life, I ran across Psalm 46, that I want to make mention of tonight for a few moments before we light our candles. Let me read this magnificent psalm to you that speaks so strongly about the presence of God, the very thing that we focus our attention upon at Christmas time. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I want to point out a couple of things from this beautiful psalm tonight. First of all, from beginning to end, this psalm communicates the peaceful presence of God amongst His people, in spite of and right in the middle of the overwhelming effects of sin on everything and everyone. Look at verse 1 again. Kind of the psalm says it over and over again. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And then verse 7. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And once again at the end of verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God always told His people that He would be with them and never leave. And yet His people rebelled in the Old Testament in spite of His gracious promise and His track record of deliverance from enemies. Over and over again, God delivered His people from Egyptian bondage, from the bondage throughout the kings of Assyria and their foreign neighbors. God always made good on His word. And this psalm, more than any other, I believe, captures the truth that God is present amongst His people. And that's the message of Christmas. God is present amongst His people. The incarnation. The God Almighty, the God and Lord of heaven and earth, became man in the baby Jesus. This psalm tells us what Christmas is all about, that God is our refuge and He is always with His people. He always has been and He always will be through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, secondly, how this peace extends to the chaos sin has brought to the elements of creation. Did you see verses 2 and 3? Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. The psalmist says, in light of the fact that God will always be with us, we don't have to worry about the effects of sin upon the universe. That's what these verses point out. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the very created universe groans as a result of the effects of sin. I think about global warming and about climate change. And I never noticed it until I read these verses, but that's about as vivid as a picture as you can get of global warming and the mountains falling into the water and the oceans rising. And yet, even in the midst of that, God says, I'm with my people. It doesn't matter what happens in the universe. We ought to be responsible. We ought not to worship the created order. And yet, God says, I will be with my people. That even in the midst of that, a natural catastrophe, that you don't have to worry, that I'll be with you. And then look at verses 4 and 5. It presents a beautiful picture of the gospel. In the midst of all these mountains and the fall of the created order, he says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. That is a picture of the gospel. What is this river, this mysterious river that the psalmist is talking about? It's the river that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. The river of the water of life. It's the gospel. The fact that right in the centerpiece of Jerusalem, God's city, there is a river. And this beautiful flowing river brings peace. Why? Because it's the river of life. It is a picture, a word picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that whether there is chaos, even in the created order, and the oceans are filling up and the mountains are falling in, the psalmist says there is a quiet river that reminds us, right at the city of God in the middle, that we have life. We don't have to worry because God is with us. But not only in the midst of the created order and this chaos that sin has brought, but also in the midst of the human heart. If you skip down to verses 6, 8, and 9, you'll notice he says, nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. What a beautiful picture. The psalmist says, not only is God present with us in the midst of the chaos that sin has brought on the created order, but God is also present and overseeing human hearts. You see, sin can't have the ultimate effect upon us, not through the created order and not through what other people do to us, because God is fully in control. The God who is perfect, who is in perfectly in control of the elements, is also in control of human hearts and the decisions of man. And so he says, the armies may gather, and there may be anger, and there may be hatred, but this is no match for the sovereign decree of Almighty God. We live in a world of war. Even now we're at war. In spite of all of our technology and all of our advances, it doesn't keep us from killing each other. It doesn't keep us from the threat of terrorism. It doesn't keep us from the misery brought about by war. But the worst war is in the human heart. The Bible makes it clear that because of we're sinners, we have this civil war going on inside of us. We're made in the image of God, and yet we're fallen in sin. And so there's a war taking place inside of us. And what the psalmist is saying is, externally with the elements, God is with us. He'll bring peace. But also internally, man against man, man against his neighbor, the wars that happen around the globe and the war that goes on inside of us can be quieted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Note how this peace extends further and further. Look at verse 10. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." You see how he wraps it up? Amongst the nations and human beings, I will be exalted. And even in the earth, the very elements themselves that are affected by sin, I will be exalted. No wonder the psalmist can say on behalf of God, "Be still and know that I am God." That's the beauty of Christmas Eve. It's a good time to reflect. It's a good time to be quiet. It's a good time to stop and recognize how small we are and how big our God is. That he would love us so much that he would send his son, Jesus, to be our Savior. That is the message of Christmas. Be still and know that I'm God. Don't run. Don't look at all the presents, the tinsel, and all the things that are bought and sold in the name of Jesus in this time of the year. Be still and recognize how big and how great and how vast your God is, that he would humble himself and come to earth in the form of a man in order to save us from our sin by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. Stop and be still for a while. Recognize the God of all of eternity has come close to his people, the God who's always been with us, ever present to help us in time of need and trouble, has come even closer in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder we can sing a great hymn like Silent Night, because it is quiet and peaceful for anyone who knows the Lord Jesus and who seeks to walk with him in obedience. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this magnificent psalm. And I pray, Lord, as we close out 2009 on this Christmas Eve, that, Lord, all of us would take the psalmist's advice that we would be still. In the midst of a world that is filled with chaos, right down to the very elements of nature, a world that is full of hatred and war, strife, and even in our own hearts, Lord, as we have sin and we have an ongoing battle, help us this night to be still as we look forward to and anticipate the celebration of the birth of your only begotten Son, Jesus, who came to save us from our sin. Lord Jesus, we bless you and praise you. We welcome you at the end of this year. Come into our lives, come into our hearts. Always be present with us. Strengthen and encourage us as we seek to worship and walk with you daily. And we make our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Let's stand together, open our hymnals, number 210.
Danny Comfort will lead us as we sing Silent Night together. So tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Have a Merry Christmas. Remember to be still. Recognize the living God who loves you and became man for you to die for your sin, to raise you to new life. Enjoy and welcome the Christmas season. Now receive the benediction of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed, and please drop off your candles as you exit the sanctuary tonight.